might be a few here who don't know what it was we prayed for. I did not explain that. There was 17 folks, some of which we know from churches similar to ours, who were captured in Haiti by a gang group, and they are being held, as far as we know, still today. That happened yesterday, and that's what our prayers were about this morning. So, as a piece of information yet, as we open this sermon, my wife and I, Lord willing, plan to leave Tuesday evening for Bangladesh. We plan to travel to the north part of the country and help in a two-day Bible conference. So I am very happy that Joanne can go with us. It's something that we're going to make work, and we're thankful that we have children who can keep a lid on things while we're gone. And so we're trusting in that. But we do plan to help with a two-day, that would be this coming Friday and Sunday, in the north part of the country. And there was a decision made to bring together all of the believers in that part of the country. So there might be about eight church groups who will come together. These are the folks that we've been fellowshipping with already, folks that we know by and large. I don't know many of them. I know some of the original believers. There's many, many, many faces that I won't know, but maybe approximately upwards of 300 people, somewhere in that range, between 200 and 300. So it's sort of a first, and I don't know how that'll go. I don't really know. So I agreed to help. I was asked to help, and I agreed to do that. And we spent some time planning some topics. And I believe the heart of our topics, the sort of the burden of this for the first day, was to call the believers, to grow, to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's been established in their lives, and how do we proceed from here? And I connected with your thoughts this morning, Brother Kirvin, about what motivates a Christian. And it's true. It's true for us. How many of us, we saw the judgment, we were fearful about eternity, and rightly so, as you mentioned. And yet, we believe it is God's heart that we grow beyond that. And you can think of the milk and the meat of Scripture, where Paul was challenging the believers. Do we need to go back again and study the foundational plan of God and how it is that we are God's children? Do we need to go back to that, or can we proceed? And I think that's the burden of the message. And it's always difficult, or the conference, at least for the first day. The second day, we plan to spend time in marriage, home, and child training. And there'll be two sessions at the end of that day, each day. We have a day separated in between so people can travel home and hopefully be refreshed and come back for a second day. We'll see how that goes. But there'll be a split session where the brothers and sisters are split, and Linda plans to carry one of those topics. And then the second day, hopefully, there'll be Linda and Mifta and a few of the ladies will try to have some additional discussion with the sisters about family life and child training, those kinds of things, and try to have a discussion and try to ask and answer questions. And so keep that in your prayers. But coming back to this idea of growth, the first topic of the first day is going to be held by Donald, and he's going to go to Matthew 7 and talk about the buildings that were built on the rock and on the sand, and then reach back into the earlier chapters of Matthew 5 and the teachings of Jesus and say, this is to remind us that we must build on the foundation of Christ. That's what we're going to teach from. We're going to build upon that. I believe that's the thought. The second topic, which is the one that I have and I plan to bring to you this morning, is found in Ephesians chapter 4. And so if you turn with me to that, Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like to read, start with three verses. Now, I will admit, there is something that is very, unnerving, I guess, about teaching and preaching to folks that you don't share a common language or culture. And so how do you express the thoughts that we so readily express here in America? And how do we remain simple and yet, try to teach the deep things of Scripture? And so that's always a challenge, and I feel that this morning. I welcome your input after the service. If you have pointers or thoughts, especially those of you who have journeyed in the country more than I have. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 13 through 15, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, one of the things I wish that I could do is to pick up the Bungla Bible parallel and say, how does it express those thoughts? And I'm trusting that they express similar thoughts. And so I can only expand and trust the translators to carry that thought in ways that it can be understood to the Bangladeshi brothers and sisters. These three verses are sort of where I want to start from, and then I do want to bring in a total of 16 verses out of this chapter. Growing up into him in all things is found in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I believe that verse is quite simply just calling us to grow up into all the ways in which Christ has shown us, is our perfect example, and fulfills his work in the church, in our communities. So we can ask ourselves a question as we think about these three verses: unity, this idea of being tossed to and fro. What do our families and neighbors say about us? How do our brothers and sisters describe our life and testimony? What does God say as he looks on in my life? Growing up into the fullness of the stature of Christ? What does he say? I believe that all of us, there's no question, need to grow up into the stature of the fullness of Christ. Of course we do. And a couple Sundays ago, I asked the question, how much is a preacher allowed to grow? And so I asked that question of all of us. And that's, I actually think it's a very fair question to reckon with, because as you mature into the fullness of the stature of Christ, you begin to realize how small that stature was behind us and 5 years ago. And anyway, as we think about our responsibilities as fathers and mothers and leaders in the homes and in our churches and in our communities, let's think about growth. We do need to grow. And so I plan to try to discuss this idea of growing, no, this call to grow, by answering three questions. Why does God want us to grow? How do we grow up? And finally, what will we do as grown-ups? Why, how, and what? Why does God want us to grow? Well, I believe we find some clues here in these verses. Look at verse 14. God does not want us to remain children. God does want us to grow. God does not want us to remain children. Because children need to be taught the very basic things. They need to be shown. Children need lots of guidance. They need discipline and structure. Children are innocent of what they're going to face in life. They have an innocence about them that's wonderful, but also that innocence does not give them the information and the experience to make good decisions. Why does God want us to grow? Why does what God want us to grow up? Because he's looking for stability. He's looking for, well, we'll continue on. Children can be easily swayed to and fro, as this verse 14 talks about, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, it says here, swayed. And perhaps we could think of it this way. Let's just think about a child again. A child is one that is easily influenced. If your child is with a bunch of rowdy friends, things can get rowdy quite quickly. And it's easy for that child to just go with that moment. And if he's around good influences and good friends, it's easier for that child to do good things. And so that influence is there. They are easily captivated by something that is new and exciting. And God's saying, I want you to grow up. Can you grow up into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ? We'll try to understand that verse just a little more too. Verse 14 also, again, here we are. God does not want us to be tossed around like a tree in the wind. It says that here in verse 14. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There is many voices around us. We have the opportunity to hear more voices than ever. We have the opportunity to hear more voices than ever. In our society, there's many ways in which we can be influenced. And I'm thinking, too, of our brothers and sisters in Bangladesh, where they live in communities that are close. They live in communities that are closer than what we're used to. And there is interaction with anything from, prophets who come through town, and perhaps it's the magicians who come through town, and certainly they have their philosophers who love to discuss a new thing. And so there are many influences that can come into our lives. And God's saying, I want you to grow up beyond a child. Because a child, that gets buffeted. He gets pushed around by the wind. And so here comes this teaching, and talking about wind, this teaching that comes from all sides. It comes at us in many ways. Children are so easily swayed. God does not want us to be tossed around like a tree in the wind. He's looking for stability. He's looking for that kind of growth. Also, it says here in verse 14 that these teachers, by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This morning, I would like to be very careful that I simply teach the Word of God. No sleight of hand, you know, no craftiness or trickery, but simply the truth of God's Word. And again, there are many who are motivated by money, who are motivated by fame, who wish to and through craftiness, bring people along with them. God does not want us to be tossed around like a tree in the wind. Perhaps it's the world of this world. I say America, I say Bangladesh, has a strong belief that if you just get the right education, we'll be able to solve the world's problems. We'll be able to put this together. It doesn't need to be like this. It can get better. They seek knowledge and understanding. You know, they seek knowledge and understanding in what they see in this world and believe they'll find their answers here. But they are only like the waters of the ocean. This idea, again, of being tossed to and fro. They're like the waters of the ocean that roll in and they recede back out. And it rolls in and it recedes back out. God tells us in 2 Timothy 3:7 that they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Our world is full of ideas. It is full of theories and arguments, great arguments. And yet, so few answers, so few solutions, and even less peace and rest. Blowing with the wind, tossing to and fro, and God wants us to grow up. Verse 13 points out this truth, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God is calling us to grow up together with the church. Why does God want us to grow? He's calling us to grow up together in the church till we all come. That, notice that, verse 13, till we all come. This isn't just a select few or the teachers or the one who went for higher education in religion. That's not what God's saying here. God is teaching us that he desires that we would all come, that all of us, regardless of our abilities, regardless of our education, calling all of us to grow up together in the church. We are men and women who believe that Jesus is not just another man. He is the Son of God, the God of heaven and earth, and the creator of all. And one of the ways that I can still make my mind just come to a standstill is to look out on that clear night and process, or try to understand, that there are galaxies and stars by the millions and billions that just go out and go beyond. And it's so far above us. That is our creator God. He is the Son of God. God is calling us. Why does God want us to grow? He wants to grow up together in the church. We grow up in this knowledge of the Son of God, the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. I believe that is teaching us that we grow up when we are at rest and peace, that our sins are forgiven, and that we have become the sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. We are men and women of faith. We receive that by faith. I do not understand that. Heirs of God, the Bible tells us, joint heirs with Christ. That goes well beyond my comprehension. But I do accept that, and I believe that, and I also have the witness of the Holy Spirit in my heart that reminds me of that, that teaches me that. We are men and women of faith. God is calling us to grow up. Why does he want us to grow up? He wants us to be at rest in peace with that truth. When someone comes along into our community, or we open that blog and we read that argument, that catchy teaching that's made, or when someone comes through our village with a new teaching, with wonderful signs, when we are men and women who are growing up in unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, we are not easily convinced, because we are part of a church. We are part of a body where we have found unity and oneness in faith. We have experienced the same thing in our lives. As our brothers and sisters have, we have experienced life-changing truth. And this kind of stability, this kind of unity brings stability in our lives. And so I see the importance here of all of us coming in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Why does God want us to grow up? He wants us to become, yes, he wants us to become a perfect man. You'll notice that here in verse 13 again. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And right before that is the phrase, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to become perfect by growing up and becoming mature men and women. I think instead of comparing ourselves among ourselves, comparing my life to other men and women, we look up at the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ, and that's where we set our sights. We envision, we understand the large man that Jesus Christ is, the perfect man. It's not about his height. It's about who he is and who he was in his perfection, in his holiness. And we set our sights, we set our measurements by his perfect example. It's so easy for us. It's so close to us to compare ourselves among ourselves. We do measure ourselves. Do we? I ask that question. Do we measure ourselves by how we see everyone doing around us? Do we get, you know, do we lose our temper and get angry and shout because other people do, because other Christians do? Do we gossip like the rest of the women? Do we look at things that we shouldn't on our phones and take in the filth of this world? Or are we thinking we are good enough because we fit in with others in our church? I ask the question, are we still children? And what this verse is calling us to consider in verse 13 is consider the perfection of Jesus, the beauty of his spirit, his stature, and the fullness of Christ, his spirit, the beauty of his spirit, as he spoke with truth and righteousness. We see how perfectly Jesus did the will of his Father. He did it perfectly. We also now have become sons and daughters of God, and Jesus Christ is our perfect example. We become the perfect man, unto a perfect man, as we grow up into Jesus Christ, as we realize that he is our example and that he is who we should pattern our lives upon. That's why God wants us to grow up. Why does God want us to grow up? God wants us to grow up into Christ, this verse says. Actually, that says that in verse 15. We'll come down now to 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Why does God want us to grow up? He wants us to grow up into the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Instead of being tossed about, instead of being uncertain and unstable in our lives, we are secure, we are growing and influencing others by our lives and the truth we speak with love. Our lives of obedience bring honor to Christ, who is the head of the church. That's why God wants us to grow. That is the why. He wants us to grow up into him, into his fullness, into his stature. We never in this flesh become perfect men and women. But we, Scripture tells us, are a perfect man when we understand that we are to look to the stature of Christ and follow his example, endeavor to be who he was, who he is. How do we grow up is the second question that I have. How do we do this? How does it get done? We understand what God wants. Stability, security, fixedness, purpose. How do we grow up? Well, I think we find that here again in this scope. I want to look at the first seven verses now of chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. How do we grow up? I think we find some answers here in these verses. Number one, when we consider that we have a special work we are called to, as sons and daughters of God, each one of us. You'll notice earlier I talked about that we would all come. And there is an inclusiveness in God's plan. And there is a work here for all of us to do. What is that work? I think we're going to find that work explained in just, I'll only look at the last couple verses of chapter 3. And to know, verse 19, the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So much in those verses. What can we simply unpack? We must understand that each one of us has a responsibility to bring praise and honor to God through our lives. That is what God's looking for. That is our vocation. That is our calling. We are one of many, these verses tell us, who throughout the ages bring glory and praise to God's name. And we do it by God's power that worketh in us. That is a work that we are all called to. God knows. God knows what is happening in this place. And today, we are bringing honor and praise to his name by God's power that worketh in us. That is a privilege and opportunity and purpose that we have. How do we grow up? When we understand that all of us have this calling. All of us who have named the name of Christ. All of us who have received the precious promises of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, have this vocation and this calling. I believe it helps us to grow up when we understand that is our calling. Second thought, we'll find it here in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness. How do we grow up? When we are humble and meek. We grow up. You know, we think a lot about a baby and it's little. And I like babies when they're at least 6 months old. They just don't feel quite as fragile. And, you know, they'll maybe respond to you with a smile or whatever. But they're so small. When that baby's first born, it's just so small. I don't know if you've had that opportunity to hold a baby when they're just fresh out of the womb. And they're just so little. That back is so small. We think about growing up. We think about becoming larger. Absolutely. It's so important to moms. They weigh the baby so many times and they just care so much about those ounces that are being put on. And then the child grows up and becomes larger, and next thing you know, it's one of these young men or young ladies. They're growing up. And we think about that size. We think about stature. We think about becoming larger. But we grow up. How do we grow up? We grow up not being fixed on the outside. But it's about what it is that's within us. We grow up not by lifting our chin and strutting just a little higher, a little taller. And that's not how we grow up. But rather, it is with a spirit and a true heart of lowliness, realizing that without God, we are nothing. Lowliness of mind, meekness, gentleness. Patience. Well, I think that's in our next thought. Realizing we are willing, the ones who are humble and the ones who are meek, the ones who are going to become more and more like the stature of Jesus Christ, are patient, and they're going to accept wrong. That's how we grow up. We accept wrong. We are willing to be pushed around. We are willing to accept wrong, and we recognize that it is by humbling our hearts before God. It is when we think less of ourselves and more of God that we grow up into Him. Lowliness and meekness. When we are humble and meek, God can give us some really big things to do. How do we grow up? When we are patient and put up with and endure one another in love. That's the next verse. We've heard these verses taught to us before, but I think we do need to be reminded. I do. I recognize that within me, I am naturally impatient, and I tend not to be long-suffering as I should be. Last night, water got spilled just as we were sitting down for supper, you know, on the hot food, like those paninis that are all folded over and fried, and it got spilled right on them, like it was soaking into them. So Dad shows up to sort of try to save the moment, and as I approach the table, the next water got spilled right over onto it. You know, I just didn't think that was quite necessary, you know. And I think you can connect to that. All of us are so different. I know that there's a lot of commonality here in our group, and yet I want us to stop and recognize that there are very unique gifts. I'm intrigued by the different understanding and minds that exist here among us. There's very different gifts. Maybe I already said that. And here we are. We are blending together. We haven't done it perfectly. But I can tell you that I praise God that again and again we can sit and discuss some hard things and we are brother. We're sisters. And I praise God for that. That is growth in the church. How are we to grow? We grow with patience and long-suffering one with another. And sometimes we do need sort of the hard edge of speaking the truth in love. But we do need those things. But we're patient with and put up with and endure one another. That's how we grow. That's how we are to grow up in the fullness of the stature, the man of Jesus Christ. I believe the greatest testament of the power of God and the new heart of Christ is to endure with patience. I believe that is the greatest. After all, hasn't our Savior endured so patiently with us? That is a truth that must sober us. How do we grow up? Well, we'll see here in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I don't know if you can picture that in your mind, but I sort of can. But how do you explain that? And how do we grow up in that? The Spirit of God, you'll notice here, talking about the Spirit, is our strength and unity. We're not just friends here. We are friends. But there is a common understanding and spirit that draws us together, the Spirit of God. We come here to grow in our understanding and our likeness of Jesus Christ and in serving God. This unity of the Spirit, we believe that there is spiritual warfare that is taking place. I reminded one of my sons of that in a conversation this week. Remember, it's not just sort of this life that we're living, but there is truly spiritual entity, spiritual power that exists. And therefore, there isn't much neutral space. You know, it is going to reach for one of those spiritual powers. We keep the unity of the Spirit as we have the Spirit of God in the bond or ligament of peace. The thing that sort of ties this elbow together, I don't know much about it, Kirvin could explain it, but there are connecting tissues and ligaments that hold this joint together, right? And this arm is valuable because it is held together, and we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace and unity of the Spirit is what holds this together, and that's how we grow up. That's how we grow. How do we grow up? We keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond and ligament of peace. That is what we're looking at right now. So, the Spirit of God is our strength and unity. And as we think about the Bangladeshi church, they have some parts to it that we probably don't have. Think about the Hindu and the Muslim growing up, and we grow up together in the unity of the Spirit, and we lay down those religious traditions those religions and those traditions and perhaps those superstitions, and together we strengthen one another with this unity of the Spirit. Then we go on looking, this same thought continues here in the next three or four verses. This unity of the Spirit is described, I believe, as one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's what keeps us together. When we have that unity, that belief and understanding, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One God who is of all, who is everywhere, who is everywhere and by his Spirit energizes all things. This unity is supernatural. And then finally, you'll notice here in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ. How do we grow? When we receive grace, as this verse says, according to the measure of Christ. Every one of us is given a task in life. We talked about that vocation and calling that's common for all of us to bring honor and glory to God. But this is talking about a specific work that we are called to do, that we are given. Not only are we given that gift, Christ also gives us grace to accomplish it and to carry it out. We grow up by that grace. These tasks might be quite different. One is a mother, one is a father, one is a teacher, another is a preacher. Some may have an office job. Others may be a laborer. So there is many ways in which we think about this grace that has been given, this opportunity to serve. We think about in everyday life. We think about in the church. And so some sisters are good at helping others. Others may be more able to help the children. And one man may do a better job with cooking the meal. And others may have the gift of grace that has been given to teach and to lead in the church. That is how we grow up in Christ. No matter what our task is, unto everyone is given grace and ability to do his job. And finally, how do we grow up? When we are part and attend the assembly of the saints. You'll notice that in verse 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then we get back to the verses we already read, till we all come in the unity of the faith. God has given special gifts in the church. I already talked about that just a little. There's teachers, there's prophets, there's evangelists, there's pastors. And sometimes we don't use those words very often in our culture, but I think we should try to use them. I have referred to some as prophets who have come and spoken to us. We come together like this. We come together in this setting. We come together in our smaller groups. Perhaps it's accountability. And again, so we can be fed, convicted, and grow up by what this church brings. How do we grow? We grow up in this body. I have. And again, praise God for brothers and sisters who teach and lead as they do. I want to close with this third point, and I'll keep it brief, and I have to decide what I need to cut out of this as we go to a translation setting, and it'll take too long. But I'll just go briefly through the final point. What will we do as grown-ups? Well, in some ways I've already said it, but let's review. What will we do as grown-ups? We will always continue to grow. As we begin to grow, we begin to understand how much growing there is to do. It's a little bit like a job. You know, I'm going to build shelves in the garage. Well, you got a plan and you get started at it, and guess what? It took a lot longer than you thought. It was a bigger project than you thought. It's pretty easy to get into those situations, isn't it? Did you ever begin to study a subject because you wanted to teach on it or preach on it? And you begin to study it and you realize it's so much bigger than I thought. And really, there's all of these pieces that are tied to it. And you realize it's a bigger. That's the same way it is for growing. When we begin to grow in Christ, we realize how much growing there is to do. We will always continue to grow. That's what grown-ups do. They never come to a rest. They never stop. And you young people, you children, you youth, may hard believe that hard to imagine. But I talked with an old man once, and he told me that he realizes that he needs the blood of Christ more than he ever has. And there's so much he needs to grow up in. And so we understand maybe more fully God's will for us. What will we do as grown-ups? We will be strong and stable. We look at this building. It's strong. It stood here since 1926, this building has. It was built, put together, and it has stood the test of innumerable rainstorms, lightning and thunder, and oh, there's some wind in Altoona. Perhaps there was some fires close by. It didn't catch fire. Here it is, strong and stable. We are like this building. It is serving us well today. And so we are to be like this building. We will be able to be strong and stable. We do so because we have useful teaching and experience and wisdom, because we have come to rest in our faith and knowledge of God. And we do it by reading this word. Somehow, we need to take in these words and this truth. It has to enter into our hearts. We have to be able to soak on it. I was talking to a young man, and it's just a little hard. I understand. But as you persist, and as the Spirit of God works, there is some food that comes. There is some growth that happens. There's some warming of the heart that happens. We'll be strong and stable. Through experience, God has taught us much on the road of life. And so, as we are those people in our community, when someone is needy, when they're facing experiences they don't have answers to, we should be the one they can come to, because they have seen that stability in our lives. And finally, we will serve in the church, and I have two closing thoughts. We'll serve in the church and experience its increase. Verse 7, notice that. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We will serve the church, and I will actually notice its increase in verse 16. So we're going to do the work. We're going to do work. There is work for us to do. We're going to serve. We're going to do the work that the church gives us. That's what grown-ups do. It's not always fun work, but it's work that we're willing to do. We're going to serve. We're being called to serve. We will serve as teachers of children. We'll handle the offering. We'll be a deacon or a minister or whatever it might be. Others will work behind the scenes. Some may be in front. But when we're adults, when we're grown up in Christ, we will serve and serve and serve. That is what grown-ups do. That is what Jesus did. If there's anything about the stature, the fullness of Christ, it's his service. And that's what God wants us to grow up to be. And finally, we'll notice there in verse 16, from which the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This body of Christ will become well-tuned and fit together because mature men and women, stable, at rest and at peace with God, stable and strong in commitment and understanding in Christ. These people are working and serving. They have added their contribution and makes the church a better place. Think about that soccer team, football team of Bangladesh. When you see that unity come together, right, and everyone has his part, and they pass and they do their thing, and they're able to score that score, or you see that well-honed, that disciplined battalion of the army going about their work. When you see that, you understand this. Every joint, the effectual working, the power of God through every joint maketh increase. And we as mature men and women, what does God want us to do? What will God have grown-ups do? We are able to experience this blessing. This body, this church will increase. Each one of us will experience individual growth, and we have the joy of seeing and experiencing growth of the body, growth of the church, becoming more like Christ in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. May God help us grow. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we do bend our knee before you, and you are the Almighty, the powerful, the creator of heaven and earth. And so we do reach out to you by faith, and we do ask that you would continue by your power through Jesus Christ and through your Spirit, as only you can, help us to grow up. Lord, we do recognize that there are times when we become fearful, we become uncertain and unsure, but I do pray that you would help us to continue on as grown-ups to mature into your likeness and your will for our lives. I do pray a blessing upon this church. I do pray that we would continue to find unity of the Spirit, and that we would be bound together by peace and love. So help us, Lord, in those areas, and I pray that you would bless us as we go from this week. I do pray and ask for your blessing upon this work in Bangladesh this week. May your will be done there. I pray that it would be a blessing to your church. And may you receive the honor and glory that you alone are worthy. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.